Yo, Ben, are there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump
Theater.
So let's
pull the curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Questions, Mark Landler? Mm-hmm. Mark?
Hmm? Hmm? Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. Prime Minister, nice to see you again. Mr. President, you sent your CIA director to Pyongyang a couple of weeks ago, and he returned without three Americans who are being detained there, and also without any other visible signs of concessions the North Koreans had made to the United States in advance of your meeting with Mr. Kim. My question is, do you intend or are you willing to sit down with Kim Jong-un if Americans are still being held in North Korea, and will you insist on other tangible concessions from the North Koreans in return for gestures like sending a potential future Secretary of State to North Korea? And from the Prime Minister, if I may, you a moment ago alluded to new trade talks between your minister and Mr. Lighthizer. Should we interpret that to mean that you are now open to negotiating a bilateral trade deal between the United States and Japan? And then a second question, Japan is the only major American ally that was not exempted from the steel tariffs. Did you ask the president to exempt Japan? And if so, how did he reply?
Well, thank you, Mark, very much.
Thank you very much. Stupid question. Go ahead. Any other, anybody else, please?
I think that I'm feel very confident that we have the best negotiator at the table. Look, you have two leaders that have an incredibly good... Hold on, let me finish. That's not what I said.
All right, it is official. You can now buy James Comey's book, A Higher Loyalty.
Comey describes Trump as having been obsessed with the prostitutes portion of the infamous dossier, raising it at least four times.
Can you imagine me, hookers?
I'm a germaphobe. There's no way I would let people pee on each other around me. No way.
Very obsessed about something that supposedly doesn't exist.
Dossier here. You may know me as the real hero of Comey's new book, A Higher Loyalty. I'm big on loyalty. It's probably my favorite track on Damn by Kendrick Lamar. Everyone was surprised to read about Donald Trump's dossier obsession. Except me, you see, since the day Comey told Trump about it. One moment. Dossier residents.
Dossier. How are you?
Donald. Hi.
It's been a long time.
You called me 1 hour ago.
I miss you. Let's talk about the BP tape.
I would rather not.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. And it was a beautiful sight to behold.
What was that last part?
It's nothing. Nothing.
I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
The hotel.
The women. The BP. I was there. And I watched, and I helped a little bit.
So you did it.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar.
It's made up, never existed, never happened. I remember it well.
In 2013, I was in Russia, and I won't go into great detail, but their mattress is soaking wet.
Yes.
He admitted everything.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
Paid Russian women's going.
Number one,
all over the place. I'm also very much of a germaphobe, by the way.
What was amazing, though, is that this weekend we also discovered Trump's origin lie. Like, this was a big thing for me, the foundation that he built his entire career on.
There's a new report tonight that President Trump may have lied his way onto Forbes magazine annual list of richest Americans back in the 1980s.
Trump first made the list in 1982 with a reported net worth of $100 million, but the documents later proved he was only worth $5 million. He lied about how many apartments the Trump organization owned, how much the units were worth, and that Trump, not his father, owned the apartments.
That's right. All the way back in 1982, Trump apparently got onto the very first Forbes list by lying about his net worth and claiming that the stuff that his dad owned was actually his. This wasn't just a casual lie that Trump told at a dinner party, right? He made a concerted effort to fake interviews, references, and his financial statements. In fact, at one point, he even created a fake person.
Former Forbes reporter Jonathan Greenberg claims in a new piece in the Washington Post that Trump called him pretending to be a Trump Organization official named John Barron.
Okay, what's your first name, Danny?
John Barron.
Most of the assets have been consolidated to Mr. Trump, you know, because you have down Fred Trump. But I think you can really use Donald Trump now, and you can just consolidate.
Are you saying that perhaps for tax purposes it's been, the ownership has been transferred to Donald
Correct.
Trump?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay, and would you say, you know, in excess of 90% of the ownership, I believe?
I'd say in excess of 90%. In fact, well, it's really closer to even the ultimate, but it's in excess of 90%, yes.
Former Forbes investigative journalist Jonathan Greenberg, why is this audio coming out now? What do you want people to know?
Well, I didn't find the audio until a few months ago. It was, and I want people to know the extent to which, you know, Trump's entire business empire and reputation as a successful businessman is based upon deception to the extent, and in a way, it's sort of unbelievable until you hear it with your own ears. So when I unearthed these audio tapes that I had, you know, in my storage for 35 years and looked at them, I saw John Barron, VP of Finance, 1984, for the Forbes Rich List. And I was like, wait a minute. And then I listened to them, and I realized between that and the other interviews I had done with Donald himself in 82 and 83, acting as Donald Trump, and all the subsequent information, how intricate the fraud of his net worth was, and also how instead of $100 million, which I put him down for in 1982, he was actually worth $5 million
right.
at that time.
Now, yes or no, has anyone else, to your knowledge, ever acted as a fake spokesman for themselves in your interviews?
No. I didn't even think of it. I had heard him in 82, 83, and...
And you write, I mean, it's so bizarre, yeah. And then you write that you had a confidentiality agreement, meaning an off-the-record understanding with John Barron, but you don't feel you need to honor that because the agreement was reached with a fictitious person?
That's correct. He didn't exist. So it's like he was doing this deception and using this off-the-record concept to hope that it would never catch up with him.
Smarter than he, and we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, lying there under the sea.
We know President Trump gets up early. He was tweeting at 6:34 this morning, so he had to find something to do to fill the time. And since he's in sunny 80-degree Mar-a-Lago, why not use all that free time for a round of golf? According to the Travel Pool, the president arrived at his own Trump International Golf Club at about 9:20 this morning, left nearly 5 hours later at 2 p.m. on a weekday. It marked his 108th day at one of his own golf properties since taking office. I know somebody who would find that disgraceful.
I love golf, but if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? I'm not going to play much golf because there's a lot of work to be done.
You need leadership.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fly to Hawaii to play golf.
Obama, it was reported today, played 250 rounds of golf.
Obama went golfing every day.
Golf, 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 golf. More, more. Learning how to chip, learning how to hit the drive, learning how to putt. Oh, I want more.
If you become president and you go to the White House, why would you want to leave the White House? When you're in the White House, who the hell wants to play golf?
If I get elected president, I'm going to be in the White House a lot. I'm not leaving. I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf.
He decides to play a little golf on a weekday, no less. You know, like this. Wish I could be on the golf course, but have to work. Must be nice to be president. Or this. Golf outings aren't just bad optics. They're foolish, and voters realize that. Or this. Glad our arrogant president is enjoying his taxpayer-funded golf outing after announcing the U.S. should take military action against Syria. Jeez. Or even this. While our wonderful president was out playing golf all day, the TSA is falling apart, just like our government. Airports, a total disaster. Wait, wait. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, what's that? Wait, none of those comments were from today? Sorry about that, guys. That's a little awkward. Well, it turns out those statements, they weren't about President Trump. They came from Sean Spicer, Reince Priebus, a guy named Sean Hannity, someone named Donald Trump. Oh, they were about President Obama golfing.
They call him Flipper, 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 Flipper.
The president had a busy weekend, or rather his thumbs did, because the leader of the free world tweeted 25 times. Say this, but he should golf more. Now, Trump hit on a variety of subjects with the tweets, but one that really seemed to have stuck in his craw was a New York Times article called "Michael Cohen has said he would take a bullet for Trump, maybe not anymore." Yeah, I don't think he'll take a bullet. At this point, my money is on Russian poisoning. The Times believes Cohen might flip.
Will the fixer flip?
Think about how crazy this is. Michael Cohen isn't saying Trump is innocent. He's saying, I would never rat him out. It's just taken for granted that Trump did something illegal.
President getting a blunt warning from one of his longtime lawyers who says Michael Cohen might flip on him.
President Trump's lawyers, his former lawyers, are concerned that Michael Cohen could flip, even though this is a guy who said he would take a bullet for President Trump.
Cohen has said he'd take a bullet for Trump. Well, but would he do 15 years for him?
I spent some time with Michael today. Michael's words to me, he's loyal. He says, I'd rather jump out of a building than turn on Donald Trump.
So do you know Michael Cohen? Makes you,
I
what
do.
Makes you think that? Okay,
I do
so
that.
Why do you think that?
I do know him. Well, he's of a type that I've recognized in the past as one not suited to stand up to the rigors of jail life. And don't forget, he's under pressure not only from his own personality, but from his family. They don't see Michael as taking pressure or a fall for somebody else. And if the government requires a certain kind of cooperation or gives out a hint as to what could be necessary, the record
is shown.
So you
think he's of weak...
I do think so. I think in many ways, and it's difficult to say this, prison has a racial overtone. And a person like Michael doesn't see himself walking down Broadway while people are clamoring, you're going to be my wife. And so he's under pressure from his family to try to figure out what it would take to bring the government aboard as his sponsor.
After the New York Times published an article this weekend filled with former Trump associates similarly expressing concern that Cohen would turn on the president because of how badly Trump has treated him, Trump himself jumped into the fray. And again, rather than proclaim his own innocence, he insisted that Cohen would never betray him.
The New York Times and a third-rate reporter named Maggie Haberman, known as a crooked H flunky, who I don't speak to and have nothing to do with.
Hold on. Have nothing to do with? Someone better call the Secret Service because here she is with Trump. The accurate reporting is coming from inside the White House. Get out of there! Get out of there!
He was upset about your reporting about the pickle that Michael Cohen is in.
Right.
How do you explain how exercised he was?
Well, I think that this is a topic, as we've discussed here over several mornings, is one that is hitting a nerve with him. I think that he and his lawyers are very anxious about the Southern District investigation into Michael Cohen. That is right now more of an imminent threat than the Robert Mueller special counsel probe is. The president, the story was really not about destroying their relationship. The president has destroyed their relationship pretty handily on his own over a very long period of time, and that is what the story was about, which is that he has been, he is abusive, according to almost everyone I speak to most people in his orbit, and family is not accepted from that. But he is particularly abusive to Cohen over the years, and then the question becomes, does that come back to haunt him?
Trump continued by saying that Haberman and the New York Times are going out of their way to destroy Michael Cohen and his relationship with me in the hope that he will flip. They use dot, 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 non-existent sources and a drunk, drugged-up loser who hates Michael, a fine person with a wonderful family. Michael is a businessman for his own account lawyer, who I have always liked and respected. Most people will flip if the government lets them out of trouble, even if dot, 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 it means lying or making up stories. Sorry, I don't see Michael doing that, despite the horrible witch hunt and dishonest media. So what Trump is saying here is, Cohen's a good guy, and this is all a witch hunt, unless he flips, in which case he's a liar, and I've never met him.
That said, we did get one piece of new news from the Comey memos. It was actually new. In the memo from Comey that's dated February 8, 2017, he writes about a meeting that he had at the White House with the president's then chief of staff, Reince Priebus. They were apparently talking about the Christopher Steele dossier. And in Comey's memo, he makes this note that he told Reince Priebus, quote, much of the dossier was consistent with and corroborative of other intelligence. And the incoming president needed to know the rest was out there. But it's the allegation that Mr. Trump had a special time of his own with prostitutes at Moscow's Ritz-Carlton Hotel during a 2013 trip to Moscow. In his memos, Comey says Trump appeared fixated on that subject, raising the topic over and over again in their face-to-face encounters. At a White House dinner January 27th, Comey says the president said he had spoken to people who had been on the Miss Universe trip with him. They reminded him he didn't stay overnight in Russia for that. Then during a meeting in the Oval Office February 8th, quote, the president explained, as he did at our dinner, that he hadn't stayed overnight in Russia during the Miss Universe trip. This appears not to be a true claim by the president. Flight records obtained by Bloomberg News confirm that Trump landed in Moscow the morning of Friday, November 8th, 2013. He then departed Sunday, November 10th in the early morning hours, confirming that while Mr. Trump did not spend a full Saturday night, the night after the Miss Universe pageant, he did spend the previous night. He spent Friday night in Moscow at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel.
Of course, Trump assumes most people would lie to get out of trouble because he's always lying to get out of trouble. If the feds put pressure on him, there's a good chance he'll flip on himself.
I'm not the real Donald Trump, but I'll tell you where you can find him.
The Times wasn't the only one in Trump's Twitter crosshairs this weekend. He also tweeted,
"The Washington Post said I refer to Jeff Sessions as Mr. Magoo and Rod Rosenstein as Mr. Peepers. This is according to people with whom the president has spoken. There are no such people, and I don't know these characters. Just more fake and disgusting news to create ill will."
Trump definitely knows these old TV characters. I don't know why he's denying it. Unless, oh my God, Donald Trump had sex with Mr. Magoo. Another big Trump story he tweeted about this weekend was the release of James Comey's memos last Thursday about Comey's meetings with Trump. After every meeting, Comey was so disturbed he would write down immediately what happened in a memorandum. There are some juicy details in these memos, like the February 2017 meeting in the Oval Office in which Trump told Comey,
"The hookers thing is nonsense,"
but added that Vladimir Putin told him that Russia had some of the most beautiful hookers in the world. But here's the thing. When Trump said this, he actually had never met Vladimir Putin. So how did he hear about this hooker thing? Putin had said they had the best hookers in the world on TV.
"You know, it's hard for me to imagine that he went to a hotel to meet with women who are very liberal toward social responsibility, although ours are undoubtedly the best in the world."
Mr. President, just because somebody is talking on your TV, it doesn't mean they're talking to you. Unless it's Fox and Friends. Comey also says in the memos that Trump joked about his plan to find White House leakers by putting reporters in jail.
"They spend a couple of days in jail, make a new friend, and they are ready to talk."
Trump responded to the memos tweeting,
"James Comey illegally leaked classified documents to the press in order to generate a special counsel. Therefore, a special counsel was established based on an illegal act." Really, does everybody know what that means?
I actually don't know what that means. But I do know how to spell counsel, and that ain't it. How can he not know how to spell the title of his arch nemesis? That's like the Joker saying, "I'll get you, Bam-Tan."
The problems today were spelling errors and the wrong name. We have already this hour recorded tonight's two misspellings of the word counsel, as in special counsel. And earlier today, you could hear English teachers all across the country saying in unison, "If you're going to call the former FBI director Shady James Comey, spell Shady correctly without the E." It has still not been corrected. Tonight, it was Florida Congresswoman and former DNC head Wendy Wasserman Schultz. The problem with that is her name is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. While it was later corrected, Maggie Haberman of the New York Times wondered if the president was perhaps thinking of the late, great New York playwright Wendy Wasserstein.
But for my money, Trump's weirdest tweet of the weekend was,
"Sylvester Stallone called me with the story of heavyweight boxing champion Jack Johnson. His trials and tribulations were great, his life complex and controversial. Others have looked at this over the years. Most thought it would be done, but yes, I am considering a full pardon."
Now, personally, I'm in favor of this. Jack Johnson was the first African-American heavyweight boxing champion who, in 1913, was convicted of taking his white girlfriend across state lines, which was a clear violation of the Black Guy Doing Anything Whatsoever Act of 1889. But the timing of this tweet is a little odd, because Trump's call with Sly Stallone happened probably close to a month ago. So why is Trump bringing this up now?
"Hey, not for nothing, Michael Cohen, but see how easy it is for me to pardon people? Just keep your mouth shut, and you will be off the hook in, like, 100 years.
"I can't believe they raided Michael Cohen's office. What are we going to do, Mike?"
"Well, the important thing is to stay calm. In a couple months, the president will be back to normal."
"How's that?"
"Because it'll be me."
"Excuse me, Mr. Sessions?"
"Oh, no. Are they here for us? I will go peacefully."
"The president's lawyer, Michael Cohen, is here to see you."
"Oh, finally. Yes, by all means, send him in. Mr. Cohen, this situation is out of hand."
"I know. Can you believe what they're doing to poor Mr. Trump?
It's a disgrace. This whole raid was a complete violation of attorney criminal privilege.
Well, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about.
Is that a joke? Look, we got a real problem here, Jeff. You know how much evidence I have in my office? I'm Donald Trump's lawyer. I got a whole hard drive that's just labeled yikes.
I see, some of these allegations against you are quite disturbing, Mr. Cohen. Like how you paid $1.6 million for a top Republican's mistress to have an abortion.
Yeah, $1.6 million for an abortion. Thank you, Obamacare. This is all your fault, Jeff. You shouldn't have recused yourself. You should have protected Mr. Trump. He's a fragile flower. And he also happens to be the smartest, kindest, sexiest, least colluding man on this planet, which I call Earth.
Michael, the reason we brought you here today is that there's someone who would like to speak with you.
Oh, great. Who?
Don't worry about it. He's down the hall waiting for you.
So right this way. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming in.
What is this place?
Looking for something, Mr. Cohen?
Robert Mueller?
Why don't you have a seat, Mr. Cohen? Here, put these on. Have you ever used a lie detector before?
I feel like I have.
Great.
Look, I want you to know I will gladly go to jail to protect Mr. President Trump.
Just relax, Mr. Cohen. If you're innocent, you have nothing to worry about. I'll start with some easy ones. Is your name Michael Cohen?
Yes.
And you're a lawyer?
Ish.
Did you make a payment of $130,000 to Stormy Daniels?
Yes.
And did President Trump know about it?
No.
I think you're lying.
It was supposed to be a surprise for Stormy, like a gift.
A gift?
Yeah, a gift. Like a rock you throw through a window with a note tied to it that says, stop talking.
The preceding show was recorded at Waveform's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.